You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Okay, we're back with Truth News Radio with a few technical problems tonight, unfortunately. Anyway, look, we're just going to plough ahead. John, and I have to repeat a couple of things we've actually had to erase a previous section. I just want to notify our listeners that there was some incorrect information in last night's broadcast. Sorry, last week's broadcast. And the information was in relation to a lecture that David Leifer is giving. It is not on the 4th of June. Sorry, it is not on the... My brain's not working. It is not on the 6th of June. It is on the 4th of June. So it is on 6:30 p.m. on the 4th of June. I do encourage everyone who can to make it there. It's Thursday, the 4th of June. So apologies for the mix-up with the dates.
Yeah, Lecture Hall 1 at Sydney University in the Architecture Faculty on City Road, just down the road from Newtown there. And quite easy to find. Just walk straight off City Road into the main foyer of the Architecture Faculty, and Lecture Hall 1's to your left. And if you come along, please dress neatly and present us in the best light. David has suggested that people should be there, you know, that are interested in the science of what he's presenting. And you know, he doesn't want it, you know, 100 people running around with 9/11 was an inside job t-shirts. Not that that's not good to do, and I do like to do that, but I'll probably be wearing my suit on this occasion.
Excellent. Okay, now just moving right along with our second half tonight, we're going to have a look at the story by Altenet and an interview by the author of that story, which is really kind of heaping ridicule upon those who believe in, well, I shouldn't say those who believe, those who question the 9/11 official view. They want to frame it, and people like Joshua Holland always want to frame it that we have, you know, those who question 9/11 have some giant belief system. Well, you know, first of all, there is no unified alternative view. There is no real kind of we. There is a lot of people. There are a lot of people who question the 9/11 Commission report. There are a lot of people who have very specific questions about many, many things that happened on September 11, 2001, NORAD training scenarios, unusual stock trades, Dick Cheney giving instructions in the Pentagon, the extremely symmetrical collapse of World Trade 1 and 2, and the absolute, you know, classic controlled demolition of what appears to be controlled demolition of WTC-7 later on in the afternoon, the comments by Larry Silverstein to the effect that they pulled it. It just goes on and on. I mean, there are many of our listeners and many people who've independently confirmed that there are dozens and dozens of mysterious unsolved questions, and there are many highly regarded, highly respected politicians, doctors, lawyers, architects from all walks of life asking questions about this. However, people like Joshua Holland, who wrote this article, seem to want to throw a big net around us all and say, well, you are all conspiracy theorists, and I'm not having a bar of it. And that's kind of what his article is. Like, you know, he talks about your conspiracy theories. So he's referring to himself as being, like, somehow separate and above it all. And I find this an interesting new development with a lot of some of the journalism that's coming out recently, where I think they're aware of the fact that there are massive numbers of people now who are questioning this, and that they're kind of just treating them like they're a rabble, like it's like they're the unwashed masses or some kind of, you know, some kind of mob, and
the most worrying thing that we see in this particular article, and I don't know if we'll hear this in the radio interview, because I couldn't manage to get hooked up to that. I think they've pulled it down, but anyway, was the fact that he's now saying we're the distraction and we're perpetuating the madness. You know, and that I really take offence to.
Yes, of course. There's that other very common and, you know, nauseating argument that somehow, you know, seeking truth and justice about 9/11 is a distraction. And of course, that was first perpetuated by Noam Chomsky, again, a man with incredible influence, huge influence over millions of people, really.
I personally know two or three people that went to sleep just when he said that. You know, that was enough for them. Chomsky said so.
Yeah.
Move on.
So look, I'll tell you what we'll do. John, I know you've got a few things to say about this article in depth, but I want to play the interview with Joshua Holland, and then we can look at some of the points and discuss some of your observations. So I will kick off with that audio now.
President Barack Obama yesterday was sent a letter urging him to invite to the White House a man named Richard Gage. Gage is an architect who claims to be able to prove that the World Trade Center towers were destroyed by timed, controlled explosive demolitions. He's promoting a video called Blueprint for 9/11 Truth, and is part of a large movement of Americans who believe that something other than planes hijacked by Al-Qaeda members were responsible for the 9/11 tragedy. They call themselves the 9/11 Truth Movement, and large numbers of blogs, as well as many hours of airtime on this station, are devoted to the mountains of information questioning the official story. This week, on a popular online political magazine, Alternet, featured a commentary by senior writer and editor Joshua Holland critiquing conspiracy theorists. Holland has himself questioned the official 9/11 story before, but in his new piece, he contends that conspiracy theories often preempt substantive analysis of the real political structures that shape our society. Joshua Holland now joins me on the phone. Welcome to Uprising.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
Thanks very much for joining us today. So first, let me begin by asking you what your questioning has been on the official story of 9/11, just to get the record straight on the position that you take.
Well, I'm first of all, I don't think that there is an official story of 9/11. I think that there's a consensus among most of the kind of mainstream institutions that it was done by terrorists who hijacked the planes and flew them in there. And I think that the 9/11 Commission report has quite a few errors and inconsistencies, omissions. And I think most of those are about essentially the government covering, or to some degree whitewashing, its own incompetence in allowing these attacks to occur after they had received warnings from, I believe, 14 different intelligence agencies, some of that which were very specific and said that there was going to be commercial aircraft used and gave a range of dates. And yet all of our security mechanisms and all of our defenses that day were not put on heightened alert, and this did happen. Now, you know, this is one of those things that I think it's very easy for people to see, okay, this was done intentionally. You see the outcome, a Bush administration empowered to pass the Patriot Act to launch an invasion against Iraq, and it's easy to say, well, this epic failure must have been intentional. So I have always been open to the idea that we don't have the entire picture of 9/11, of the events leading up to it, and I believe that there is quite a few questions that remain to be answered. But I think that the existence of this 9/11 truth movement actually makes it harder to get those questions answered.
Anna.
I'm just going to stop it there. I think it's really interesting that what he said right up until that last couple of words there, I agreed with. And it almost seems like, wow, he's on track. He's on our wavelength. And then he suddenly throws in that left spin, you know, that spin ball. Did you catch that?
Mm.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Now, it continues. Now the whole thing just goes completely off track now. It's quite amazing. We'll just continue.
I'll ask you about just that in one moment, but what is the consensus then among the 9/11 truth movement, if there is any, about what they think happened?
Well, I don't think that there is a consensus. There are what are known as my hoppers and lie hoppers. This is a big debate between within the movement. Those are people who believe that the attacks were allowed to happen, they'll let it happen, and those who believe that the attacks were an inside job, and those are the people who believe that they made it happen, the my hoppers. And, you know, there are there are myriad theories within the truth movement. So I don't believe that there is a consensus besides the basic premise that dark, unseen forces, not Al-Qaeda, not terrorists from abroad, were responsible ultimately for the attacks.
Okay, Joshua. So your article that you published in Alternet is called Three Good Reasons and One Bad One, in parentheses, Why I Don't Buy Into Your Conspiracy Theories. What are the good reasons that you don't buy them?
Well, and I should point out that there are kind of, you know, 9/11 anti-conspiracist debunkers, and I'm not one of those people. But having read a lot of the theories that are out there, the best reason is that when I've been directed to a paper or a study or a commentary that supposedly proves a connection between the Bush administration and 9/11, I've found that the evidence is simply lacking. And this is a thing, I think that as someone who writes for a popular online magazine, our readers are always accusing us of essentially being in on the cover-up because we don't embrace these theories.
Well, join the club.
What's that? Yes. And, the bottom line is that I am somebody who does not have an enormous amount of trust in the government, and I greeted them with an open mind and found the evidence to be insufficient. And then there's the kind of broader thing, and I should say that this piece wasn't about 9/11 per se. It was about the conspiratorial mindset. So another really key reason why I have a hard time buying into this conspiratorial mindset rather than 9/11 specifically is that it starts from the premise that the institution, the visually apparent institutions of power around us are simply puppets being pulled, whose strings are being pulled by unseen forces, by dark, unseen, unidentifiable forces. And these can be the New World Order or the Bilderbergers or the
Illuminati,
cabal. There are many, many, many of these. Mm-hmm. And I think that obstructs an analysis of, where the power really is. And I can look at any issue and say, okay, here are the institutions that are influencing how that issue plays out in our political culture, and they see those things as a facade.
Okay, just pause it there. Josh, how does this strike you? I don't know if you've had a chance to review this piece before. I mean, the guy is obviously not, he's not stupid. And he's not lazy either. Like, you can see he's actually putting quite a bit of work into the way he's thinking about this and responding to it. But he seems to be skewing he's deviating, and he's skirting away from certain things. It feels very intentionally he's avoiding some of these complex questions.
Yeah, it seems to me, Harold, that I like this sort of person. I like a person that is, critical of everything from the 9/11 truth movement to the media to everything. It's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's healthy skepticism. It's excellent,
it's healthy,
isn't it?
Yeah. But for him to say that, that all the more than 1,000 architects and engineers are wrong and this and that and that, I guess just the part that we've listened to there, he goes on about the that we go on to this Illuminati and that the New World Order and that, but the fact of the matter is government doesn't run anything. I mean, it's just common knowledge. Industry runs government, who runs us. I mean, that's
indeed
how it works, Corporations and bankers own government. I mean, that just all you have to do is look at how the banking works. Government sells government bonds to banks. And then banks pay them in currency. I mean, just that there is some sort of a fascist, corporatist exchange and codependency, which is obviously, and you know, who's dependent on who in that relationship? Well, the government's dependent on the corporations because they are dependent to have liquidity into the market to let the slaves trade, you know.
Yeah, absolutely true. Look, sorry, John, here, yeah, please speak.
He's a smart fellow and he's like, so far I'm not angry with him. There's only one thing that's made me angry is, you know, from the 9/11 truth perspective, is the fact that he said that he's looked at the evidence with an open mind and he's found it lacking. Now, this is, I've heard this from people in the left before, especially journalists that refuse to go down the path of 9/11 truth. Now, I don't know how much more evidence of controlled demolition you could possibly provide. You know, like, can we provide any more? Like, we've got, it looks like a controlled demolition. You know, the dust shows it's a controlled demolition. The laws of physics show it's a controlled demolition. We have the experts that agree that it's a controlled demolition. We have the peer-reviewed scientific process that says it's a controlled demolition. And still he says...
And now we find
it's
chips.
It's lacking. Now, this is just a cop-out so that the people that still haven't looked at the evidence will continue not to look at it. That's all it is.
And in his rant, which continues for another few minutes, I don't know if we've got time to listen to the whole thing tonight, but... In his rant, he continues with his theme of, oh, well, these people all believe in a secret, shadowy, you know, powers that run everything. And he basically only talks about that. And he talks about this conspiratorial mindset. But in doing so, he cleverly avoids addressing any of the substantial evidentiary issues. Either the questions of how it was never proven that the official government view is correct, how the 9/11 Commission was never subject to proper terms of, you know, inquiry, that, you know, that they weren't really investigating, they were only describing what was told to them, they were only retelling what had been provided to them, that, you know, that the various claims have never been substantiated. And in fact, you know, there has never been a due process of inquiry. He manages to steer away from that to focus on this conspiratorial mindset that everyone supposedly has, but in doing
he
so
also
he's been
misses
really clever.
In that introduction where he's talking there, he misses some crucial points when they say, is there a consensus? Well, I definitely believe, from my view, which is of the 9/11 truth movement, that's really what I spend my time looking at, there is a consensus. There's certain points that we definitely have a consensus on. You know, we have a consensus on the controlled demolition of the towers, especially Building 7. And we now have a consensus of an inside job. The let it happen on purpose is gone. That's finished. We don't have that. There's not anyone that I know that's still pushing that. The only people that are pushing that possibly are the people that aren't 9/11 truth advocates that have an idea about what happened that haven't really looked at the evidence yet. The other thing is that we have a definite consensus that TNAC, that Dick Cheney, you know, like I think there's a general consensus now that he was probably the operations manager of the operation, you know, that it seems quite obvious. So I think we have Dick Cheney, I think we have Donald Rumsfeld, I think we have the Project for the New American Century, and especially the co-authors of Rebuilding America's Defences. I think everyone agrees that they're at the operational level. And we know, you know, General Myers and, you know, the people that left their posts on that day that didn't do their job, that hid from the fight, you know, these traitorous people that you know, let it happen. Obviously, for some reason, I don't know, that's what they've been trained to do their whole life, and they don't do their job. You know, so there's definitely a consensus that there are people that we definitely want to bring to prosecution, and there's also a consensus within the people in New York and broader around the world that we can bring these people to trial and put them in jail. Now, that's not conspiracy theory. That's real hard evidence. We want to take it to trial. We're spending our good money fighting this campaign to get these people in jail, put them in front of juries and see them squirm like they should, the traitorous mongrels. And, you know, so that's what he's not saying. He's not saying about the victims' families. He's not saying about the people in New York that are suffering to this day from the terrible dust there. He's not talking about any of the real issues. He's just talking about the Alex Jones side of things, you know, the hyped-up Illuminati garbage, you know. I mean, it's who knows? Maybe it's true. I don't know. But it's talking about the stuff that's speculative. I shouldn't call it garbage because that would offend a lot of people, but it's the stuff that he can say is garbage, you know.
This is...
It's not necessarily is garbage, but that he can bring us down that, you know, idea that we're all, you know, thinking about these dark evil forces of the Masons and the this and the that and Jury and all these other things.
Well, this is a very important point.
We've all got ideas of that because that's what we're left with, because the media don't do their job.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it's a very important point that you make. And just while we're talking about Alex Jones, I'd just like to just give you a quick synopsis of the film New World Order, which is kind of getting quite a lot of reviews in the press, which is made by a couple of quite skilled filmmakers. But it's being used to really denigrate the 9/11 truth movement. The film, I've got a review here of that film directed by Luke Meyer and Andrew Neil. And I'll just give you a taste of the kind of things the reviews are saying. The most potent message New World Order conveys is its refusal to flinch in the face of what many would call fanaticism, training a focused, steady eye on their subjects without hastily making a satisfying knee-jerk judgment. Through the tears, constant rallying and paranoid rants, and hypocritical disclaimers of their subjects, Meyer and Neil remind us that these conspiracy theorists are not to be pitied, but rather understood as people doing what they earnestly believe is their civic duty. They are rabid and frankly more than a little nuts. For example, in the impending apocalypse, red and blue dots on mail apparently determine whether you get taken to a FEMA camp or get shot on sight by stormtroopers. But they're also a determined and militantly organized group that dares you to ignore them. I mean, wow. How do you like them apples? I mean, that is a piece of information warfare, the like of which I have not even seen. I mean, that is a very, very powerful tool, what I've just read to you there, to destroy the movement. Because, again, I want to emphasize for those who might not be aware of it that the 9/11 truth movement sprung up completely independently of Alex Jones. The two are not connected in any way other than that they both, that Alex Jones passionately believes that we need to, you know, restore justice and freedom. And I think he's right about those things. And he's right in his questions about 9/11. The 9/11 truth movement was started by totally independent people, most of whom are not connected to any kind of conservative, mindset, such as Alex Jones has sprung from. But what we see, and this is very common in large grassroots movements, is that this does unify people from all different walks of life. That's its characteristic. That was what was so amazing about the civil rights movement in the 1960s. It unified people from all different walks of life. That's what made Martin Luther King such an important figure. The same can probably be said of the Kennedys. There have been leaders, people like Nelson Mandela or Bob Marley, or, think of various different types of people that have a unifying effect, or a cause sometimes that has a unifying effect, and this cause of like, of truth and justice, and 9/11 being a really important part of that. We do have people who are leaders. I mean, Alex Jones is a leader of sorts. I think he's a flawed leader, and we have to realize that in some ways he is providing ammunition for these people who want to characterize the whole of the dissident movement as being part of his mindset.
And I mean, the theme that the left journalists, or the progressives, or whatever you like to call them, have been pushing is this idea of it being a religion in a way. That we're really driven by this purpose of this issue, and but to a point of religious,
quackery,
sacrifice. Like, we're prepared to sacrifice everything. We're insane with what we're saying, and that really seems to be where they get the most traction. That's the easiest thing to believe about people and not look at the issue. I think that's the easiest rationalization for sort of academics and people to consider themselves informed. They find that the easiest. And when these conspiracies get so big, which is what happened, and I think the basic reason that we've seen Alex Jones build this idea of, you know, the Bilderbergs and everything else, and I think the Bilderbergs have a lot of influence, there's no doubt about that, and I think even this Joshua Holland would agree that they have influence. But the reason that we've built such a conspiratorial view from Alex Jones in, I suppose, maybe 20 or 30% of the 9/11 truth movement is because there's no debate. They're not talking about these issues in other forms of media, so that there's no regulation. You know, Jones is really the only spokesman speaking about these things in a big way, and that's why we're getting this religious sort of following of him, because there's really no one else around. I mean, because there's just no debate. It's
and,
the
and
rest
because
of the media
there isn't,
is dead.
Because it's hard for individuals who are not tied in to the corporate superstructure to have a voice.
And he is tied in a little bit, isn't he?
Well, he is tied in with GCN, but the point is he has his own money. He started out his radio show on his own with money that he inherited, and he does have connections to oil. He does come from a family that has a bit of wealth, but he's a rebel. He's a rebel against the system. He's a very unique, very maverick character.
Yeah, I love him for who he is and what he does, but it's a shame that he's ended up being this sort of, you know, guru in a sense to some people within this movement, because he's flawed, like you said. But, you know, like, everyone's flawed their own way, and that's why we need more depth, and that's why we need someone like Alternate to get on board and start talking about these issues seriously so that we can get some other picture than that. But I still don't accept, and I know that you don't, and Joshua doesn't accept, that Alex Jones represents us, but definitely represents the passion. I think I'd definitely let him say, I'd say he represents our passion. I'll give him that.
Yeah, and look, this is typical of hit pieces. It's condemnation by association. And basically what they do is they wrap everyone up into this nice, easy to wrap up bubble. You know, our conspiracy theorists, oh yeah, UFOs, and all this sort of stuff, or Bilderbergers. And look, I absolutely, I'm the first to admit that large banking families rule this world. I mean, they do. That's just, if you've got a large amount, if you control vast amount of wealth and power, you wield lots of power, So if you control the wealth, you control the power. That's just the nature of life.
You have influence.
You have influence. That's right, yeah. You may not control everything, but you can definitely steer it.
And look, the more we've seen the media lying in this incredibly concerted fashion, with them all like lockstep with each other, this has only encouraged many people, including me, to have a more conspiratorial mindset. To see people like Noam Chomsky turning their back on these questions, to see so many people who were, you used to think that maybe Georges Monbiot, or these writers that write for Counterpunch and, you know, various left-wing journals, scorning and being contemptuous of very legitimate questions, and then what we've seen with the climate change issues, and what we've seen with various other topics that we talk about a lot on this show. Of course, I am being steered into a conspiratorial mindset, and it takes all my strength to hold back from really falling into that completely. But I do hold back as much as I can, but there is so much evidence that we are under a type of conspiracy that it's only inevitable that you're going to get people like Alex Jones, who is, his background, you know, his background being a conservative, capitalist, libertarian with links to organizations like the John Birch Society, which was always talking about conspiracy. I mean, the question of conspiracy and global conspiracy in kind of conservative politics in America goes back many generations.
But Griffin's a great example of that, and that's someone whose news I read every week. I always find it very interesting. That's the sort of person you're talking about, the freedom-loving, you know, person that sees conspiracy everywhere, because that's human nature. You know, they really, that's just how it is, you know, in their interpretation. And I think it's more complicated than that, but that's definitely a rational view. I don't think there's any irrationality about looking
everywhere.
At it like that.
The nature of conspiracy is just two or more people talking about getting together and having some sort of outcome and working together. It's a corporation. It's a conspiracy of people to try and come to get some sort of development happening. And that is, the whole world is run of conspiracies. The word conspiracy has been shifted in the popular mindset through shows like, The X-Files and such. And you know, this sort of leftist speak of, it's all these conspiracy theorists. It's a ridiculous non-argument. To say someone is a conspiracy theorist, a judge is a conspiracy theorist.
But to go with it is this idea that not only are they conspiracy theorists, they are very susceptible to illogical fantasies that are a product of their need to believe in something rather than following facts. This is what goes with that label. Now, and the sad truth is, I have to admit this, and it's really important to state this, is that there are many people who are really like that, who will jump on to various bandwagons of ideas without applying any critical reasoning at all, and then they'll merge. And you know, again, we go around in circles here, but you know, we've talked about this a lot, haven't we, John? And it's like these people exist, and I'm continually coming across more and more different versions of this. I mean, recently I had to investigate crop circles, okay, because I met someone who's very interested in the subject, and I like to be open, and because if it's something I know nothing about, who am I to say anything if I know nothing about it? I've got to at least start doing some research before I can comment. But we may do a little show on the crop circles, because what I found from researching that is really quite interesting. But it'll take a whole show to deal with it. But what I can tell you is that there is a tendency among many people to want to believe in something, and it's more to do with myth making. People need myths, and I do think the official story of 9/11 is just such a myth. The official story of 9/11 is myth making of the greatest kind, you know, and it was created as a story, you know, the man in the cave.
No, it's a Hollywood plot, yeah, I mean, that's obvious, yeah.
Hating our freedoms, and then we have to fight the crusade to bring freedom, and the evil Muslims, and then it just plays into various psychological themes, and of course the destruction of the towers, very powerful, very, very powerful mythological meanings in all of that.
And don't forget, when Harewood says crusade, George W. Bush said crusade.
He did indeed say it. He said it.
He did say it. It hasn't been repeated on television, but he said it.
And we know everything he said was written.
I saw it when he said it, and I thought, God, we're in for some bad trouble.
Everything he said was written by script writers. He doesn't just speak off the cuff, you know.
Well, he does, but yeah, I mean, yeah, generally.
Yeah.
And it's a myth, and people love to believe myths, and you're dead right. But what I can't get, I just can't see why, and this, he talks about seeing the trees from the wood, and he puts all this stuff out there, and there are people definitely like that can't see. But we know, or there's the core of the 9/11 truth movement, the people that are really making a difference and convincing people, we know that we've got 9/11, you know, we've got the evidence, and we're compelled to tell people because we know how compelling the evidence is. And being rational actors and survivors as we are, we know we must tell people about this because we don't want it to happen again. And that's what we're going to continue to do. And we know with something like JFK's assassination, we know that there's hard evidence that proves that what we were told was absolute BS. There's no doubt that the magic bullet is ludicrous. And there's no doubt that he was shot from somewhere other than the book depository. So, I mean, you know, there's certain conspiracies or certain events that we know are wrong, clearly. And I think JFK and 9/11 are two that no one questions. Everybody's happy to talk about those two within our circles and with the greater circles of people that are in the truth and justice movement. And there's things like the Monsanto thing that, you know, that you showed the film the other week, that there's clear evidence of corruption and conspiracy and lies and all those sorts of things. But then we get to things like crop circles or the moon landing or this and that and all these other things where the evidence is grainy video footage or it's something really not very clear, you know. But that's not the case with 9/11. That's not the case with JFK. And, you know, and people should concentrate on what is obvious. Have your beliefs about everything else and look into it. That's fine. That's your right. But to bring them into the same, you know, area of... proof or the, I mean the same significance in history, it's just ludicrous to do that, and I just don't understand why people like to do that, you know.
Excellent.
You would agree about the JFK and 9/11 being special cases where it's clear that you know there's another truth there, a deep conspiracy.
There's a conspiracy, yeah,
but it's this psychology that's getting spread by people like this Joshua fellow, who that anything, if the government says, you know, something different, because the lie is so big, let's just switch off our brains and you know, let's just and things, saying things like there is no official story. Of course, there's an official story. The official story is in the 9/11 Commission report. The official story is on the mainstream media every day.
That's right, yeah. Hey, Josh, you sent me that text the other night about The Spy Factory. Is that right, that film?
Yeah.
Documentary. Now, that's the other. Obviously, we've got the we're religious nuts, we're out of control argument. Then we've got the we're a distraction argument. Then we've got the, you know, we're all conspiracy theories and there's no real evidence argument. But the argument that I think is the most effective and the one that they're going to resort to in the end is the incompetence argument, and that's the one that he raises in this article a little bit, but we saw in The Spy Factory. And do you know the reason why we end up with the incompetence argument is because the journalists will only refer to official things that they receive from the government, and they build these cases, and because Able Danger, the investigative unit that was set up directly from the Joint Chiefs of Staff that had many staff officers that lost their careers over talking about what they were doing, because that, in the end, the Congressional Commission or the Congressional Inquiry found that Able Danger didn't know about any of the hijackers, even though all said they did, and they produced the evidence, but then it was lost and destroyed. Consequently, the journalists then don't report that Able Danger even happened. You know, it never existed because it's not official. So we get this history being built, and in the end, the journalists end up cornered where they have to admit there's something wrong. So then they just resort to the incompetence argument. Oh, they didn't talk to each other, or, that's right, General Myers was in the toilet for an hour and a half when it was all going down. Oh, that's just because he had a bad bowel problem. Or, they just come up with all these excuses, you know.
No, that's right. And the answer is always, oh, and thank God we're getting all spied on now because we haven't had a terrorist attack since, you know.
Oh, that's in the end, that's right. But we're all right now because we won't let this happen again.
Because we're spying on everyone now, you know.
Do you agree with that, Harold? Do you see this progression towards this incompetence theory in the end? Do you think that's where we're going to end up?
It's come up all the way through. It's just something they always fall back on. It's like, but when they try to justify or to explain away things like torture, they say, oh, it's a lack of training. I mean, I've heard that used. I've heard, oh, the Abu Ghraib abuse was because there was a lack of training. Again, it's like they're saying they were incompetent. But, I mean, you don't torture someone because you're incompetent. You know, it's a deliberate act. It's a conscious act, like stealing or, you know, killing someone. You don't do it by accident. And the idea that 9/11 occurred as a result of incompetence is just, it's the sort of argument that a criminal uses to try and get out of, you know, to try and weasel out of complicity.
When he's definitely caught, that's right. Then he resorts to that, to, you know, sort of saying, oh, it was accident. Oh, I didn't really mean it, or whatever he's going to try to mitigate what's going on.
I mean, look, I've read books about serial killers, and quite often, in a criminal case, a guy who's like beaten a woman to death will say that she ran out in front of his car. You know, I've heard this said. You know, and then they'll say, oh, you know, she was hit by the car. I didn't really beat her to death with a tree branch, and you know, and I mean, and then they'll make up some other story, or they'll say, you know, I did it, but it was I only did it because she was, I don't know, She was screaming at me so much, and I, you know, I just had to shut her up, or, you know, I don't know. Just they just make up story after story after story to try and make it seem legitimate as to what they did.
Did you want to break down this this story that he wrote a little bit?
Well, look, do you have some notes there that you'd like to share?
I do, yeah. Well, there was, now it was, the story was called My Laptop's Died, so it's just the battery ran out because I'm somewhere quiet. But the story was called basically Three Reasons That I Don't Believe Your Conspiracy Theory and One Bad One. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Now, the reasons that he said, the three good reasons. Now, the first reason was evidence and evidence, saying that our evidence doesn't, isn't to the level that's required for a journalist like him to report it as such. Okay, now the first example he says is, well, they used these eyewitnesses that were there on the day that were actually there when it happened, directly as it was happening, that were speaking to live news reporters at the scene. Now, he's saying that they're unreliable. Now, my experience in researching over the last few years is that we normally get the truth the first day. And after that, things change and eyewitness reports become muddied. Now, of course, there can be some emotional reports, but we know that there was literally hundreds of reports of people reporting explosions and seeing certain things, flashes of light, and all the things that back up our case. Now,
well, the first thing someone says to me when I say to someone, oh, 9/11 is inside, a lot of people say to me, I was there on that day. And I could tell you it wasn't, you know, it's always this sort of argument, I was there, so it's a sort of ridiculous argument. You know, if you say you weren't there, then, oh, you don't know the truth. And if you say you are there,
then... This isn't any good because they're under emotional stress or whatever, you know. Like the reporters that are hearing the explosions, and you can hear them in the audio, they're saying, there's an explosion, you know. Like, anyway, this is garbage. Now that it goes to the BBC thing. Now, I've never been someone that's pushed the BBC reporting Building 7 collapsing early because I've never really thought it was that important, just like I never really thought the Larry Silverstein comment was important because I always knew that they'd just spin their way out of it, right? It's a mistake, and why would they possibly... And this is the thing they do all the time. They say, well, if it was true that the BBC was scripted to report the building collapsing early, then this, and this must be true too. And then they create their own theory about... You know, what has to be true for that to be true? And it just goes off into these tangents that these journalists love. Now, that's why I like to stick to the hard evidence, like, you know, the controlled demolition and, you know, things that we find, physical evidence that can't
be... The forensic evidence, yeah.
Yeah, the forensic evidence, that's the only way to go. So he brings up one of that BBC thing and says, oh, there was a time stamp and, you know, he even questions the fact, and it's been verified by the BBC. So that's just outright lying. He's just muddying the waters on purpose. There's no doubt about that. Then he says you have to be a metallurgist to know that flowing red-hot metal, you know, is molten steel or molten iron. Like, you don't have to be a metallurgist to know that. You know, like, the temperature, the colour is related to the temperature in metals, you know, how hot they are. But anyway, we'll just let that one slide. But that's just him copping out. You know, obviously, a little bit of research, he could find out very, very quickly exactly what that meant. Now, then he talks... Now, this is the argument I've had off a couple of people at the Greens that hate me because I won't give up on 9/11. Anyway, they say, oh, look, just as there's just as many sites for, you know, against 9/11 that refute all your arguments... that there are sites that back your arguments. Well, number one, that you could call that a lie because there's probably, 1% of sites that rebut compared
to
the sites.
There is so little out there that rebut. Honestly, all the rebuttals are people in comments going, you're an idiot. You know, just ridiculous.
There are some sites, you know, Screwless Change and, you know, and a few forums and this, that and the other. Yeah, there are a few sites out there. There might be 20 or 30, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but there's not Google 9/11 Truth and you'll find, you know, like, what, hundreds of thousands of sites, right? There's a few. So, but that's basically a lie. We won't say, I'm not going to give him credit and say that that's a mistake. That's a lie, okay? Now, also, he says that they have, you know, equally good arguments. Now, I've reviewed both sites. Now, we go to the Journal of 9/11 Studies. We have, you know, all these letters and all these peer-reviewed scientific documents. We have published documents. We have other sites like 9/11truth.org that just run such a clean ship. It's just all good stuff, and that's really our premier site. We've got other really good sites that are very, very critical of any garbage, like, and they get any garbage that gets up on there, they get hammered by the people that actually go to the sites. You know, so it's absolutely untrue that they're the same quality or level. You know, that's ridiculous. I think you could say that's a lie as well. Anyway, then he talks about popular mechanics, you know.
As they always do.
As they always do, you know, and we know that the popular mechanics, they created the straw men and all the rest of it. But anyway, it's the same old stuff what we've seen before. Won't muck around too much there. Okay.
But let's just, for a second, folks, imagine your mother got killed by a murderer and it sort of all gets covered up, but then you find all this evidence around it, and it points to this murder. You find all this evidence and you bring it to the police. But Popular Mechanics, some magazine, comes up with some rebuttal. And what do you think? Oh, right, that magazine did it. Right, we'll stop thinking about it now. It's a magazine.
And there's no experts on the list of people. They've looked at it from an editor's point of view. It's not even like backed up by scientists. There's, you know, it's not like, oh, we've got this science, this, and you can write him an email and he'll answer your question, or, you know, we're prepared to do an interview, you know, on the television with anyone that's got questions, or, you know, they're not putting it out. They're just writing an editorial, and that's it. There you go. That's our answers, and you know. There is a place, I believe, you can ask questions at Popular Mechanics, but it takes them a couple of weeks to get back to you, and it's normally just garbage, and they just cite denialism commission or something. But,
yeah, and then you've got other things like the both sides of the rebuttal movement to, you know, contradict each other. So you've got the NIST report contradicting, you know, what that magazine says, and you know, it's just such a load.
Look, there's just, I anyway, just like to, look, yeah, sorry.
There's a few other things. He points out the Benjamin Chertoff was, you know, involved, and, you know, if someone said it was the cousin of Michael Chertoff, and, you know, and that was not true. So the usual thing, they just pick on a few things. But he calls this evidence and evidence. Hang on, has he talked about any evidence there and actually questioned a piece of evidence, like thoroughly or properly or even linked to something? No,
yes.
But that's what he calls that first reason, is evidence, you know. But anyway, doesn't even address it. Now, the second thing he says is structuralism and the dark forces, or and dark forces. Now, what is structuralism? Is that just another new word that we, you know, that we can use?
Structuralism is
us?
Actually an intellectual movement, which is studied in like literature and anthropology. I look. He's using that term in a very bizarre way.
I sort of had an idea of what it didn't seem right to use it there.
I mean, look, I'm not even going to try and tell you what structuralism is. I suggest you Google it. I suggest our listeners Google it. You know, I think he's using the wrong word there, actually. I'm sorry to say.
Now, he lists the people that we blame, you know, that we allude to could be responsible. Now, he lists PNAC. Now, I'm not going to argue with that, but then he goes on with the usual jury and this, that, and the other. Now, these things are mentioned by 9/11 truthers. There's no doubt that people mention the Bilderbergers and these other groups that meet in secret and have power unfettered by the people.
Yeah.
Wow. Geez, that's terrible to mention them. But anyway, that's what people do when they see the world out of control and things like 9/11 happening. They go, well, who's in control? Because it ain't us, and we're the people, and we're supposed to be in control, but we ain't in control. So anyway, who cares about that one? That's just, yeah, there are dark forces out there.
Yeah, yeah.
They live in caves in Afghanistan for freaks like this guy.
Yeah.
But for us, they're actual real people that are out there doing dark things.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a bit of a, you know, just the usual sort of, we're big conspiracy nuts and all the rest of it. Now, the distraction and marginalisation was the one we talked about earlier, that are preventing serious questions being asked. So did he mention the Thermitic paper in this article there, Harold and Josh?
No, he has been challenged on it, though.
He did during the comments. I saw that.
Yeah. And
but he didn't actually mention that here.
Yeah.
Serious questions. Now, I would have thought that would be a serious question. But it's not. Okay, so, and then he talks about the fact that we're the fringe. Okay,
yeah,
so
we
6
are the
out
fringe.
Of 10 people in the world question 9/11. Half of the New York people think the government was involved. And we're the fringe. Okay.
Well, sometimes he calls us the fringe, sometimes he calls us the unruly mob who is kind of taking over.
Unruly mob. Jeez, I can't wait till we get really unruly, because he'll be on our list. Anyway, so so with the fringe, so that's sort of a lie too. You know, it's denigrating us and all the victims and everyone else and the people that are fighting for their lives.
The people who were in the civil rights movement in the early 60s were probably called some bunch of fringe wackos too. You know, any time there's been a huge revolution that's been brewing, probably the French Revolution was the same, you know, the people who are part of that revolution are seen by the ones in power, including the lackeys, including the lower level ones who basically are just feeding off their corrupt relationship with power. They want to call the rebels some fringe bunch of lunatics. Of course they do.
Mm. Mm.
Anyway,
well, I'll take it as a term of endearment.
And
the fourth reason, of course, the bad reason was that, you know, we're crazy and we're no planers and we believe all these you know, basically, if you hang out with us, you're going to get fleas, you know. Well, he's not sexualizing it, so you're not going to get syphilis, but you'll get fleas. You know, like, he's just warning the left, stay away from those 9/11 truthers. They're really going to bring you down. You hang out with them, you're going to lose your mind. You know, you're going to fall out with us, and we're not going to look after you anymore. And, you know, like, it's really just, you know, it's like they're putting he's putting his thumb in the dike, isn't he, once again? I mean, that's really all they're doing.
You know what I'm seeing as a metaphor right now, what I'm thinking of? Think about the last days of the Vietnam War. When the United States was right up till the end saying, everything's okay, everything's under control, you know, orderly sort of withdrawal of our troops from Vietnam because that's the way we wanted it, you know, everything's fine. And then, of course, everyone knew that was complete bullshit, you know, and that the Viet Cong were closing in on all sides. But right up till the end, they're pretending. And then suddenly they're dumping helicopters in the ocean, going crazy, people just freaking out, you know, when that last rout occurs and suddenly, you know, the army's at the gates of the palace and it's all over. Mm. Now, that will happen with the 9/11 position, the official, they'll defend it right up until that last moment when the police are arresting them, you know, then they might shut up a bit, okay? But until then, they'll just carry on pretending everything's normal. And I think the same thing will happen in Iraq with the American presence there as well. They'll pretend everything's going fine, like they're saying now, you know, everything's under control.
And when it all comes out, you know, the people out there that think, you know, we're in it for the glory, you know, you know, spending all our good cash and, you know, sending our wives bonkers or whatever else we're doing to destroy our lives while we fight this campaign, you know, when it all happens, the media will claim, you know, they saved us, no doubt. They've done that before too, haven't they?
Well, yeah, they can swing around, like they can change everything overnight, as we've seen.
That's right. They can rewrite history again. Oh, yeah, no, we were just waiting for the right time to bring this out and, you know, and blah, blah, it's a revolutionary thing and, you know, they're making all these excuses and why they, you know, didn't believe us. And
but honestly, guys, like I really don't look too much because all I think is, oh, what an... That totally discredits him, the article, and I just never read Alternate really again. Like, if someone's that dumb, honestly, I think, well, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? You know, I don't think, I pick on him and try to you know, discredit him. I just think, oh, what an idiot. Like, is he really that dumb? He's either that dumb or he's, like, doing it for some other reason. I don't get how people can be that absolute thick. And then, I mean, sometimes I look at that thing and then I see the amount of comments he gets, which is it's in the hundreds now, and I think, well, maybe he's just doing it because he knows it's a popular topic.
It was over 1,200, that was a few days ago.
Yeah, no, it's nearly 1,400 now.
I think, well, you know, maybe he's just doing it to drum up because he knows everyone knows about it. He knows that the evidence is so overwhelming in 9/11 Truth's favor that if he writes something like this, you'll knock up some controversy, you'll get heaps of people viewing it, and the 9/11 Truth movement will spread it around saying, oh, quick, comment on his site, so he gets lots of hits and he can charge more for his advertising. I mean, you know, honestly, either he's doing it that way or he's just really a dumb guy. I mean, big words.
I won't
like
be going back there unless I'm going back there to review something like we're doing tonight. I won't be going back there, and I'm doing that with lots of things now. Even with the CO2 debate, if I've got some of these left-wing sites that I'm subscribed to that start sending me stuff about it, I just keep writing back to them saying, look, you know, you're on the wrong track with this one, blah, blah. And if they keep sending that sort of stuff to me, then I don't know, I don't really have time for stupidity anymore, really.
Yeah, I do the same. WWF keeps sending me stuff about that, and I just write back to them straight away saying, look, I like some of your stuff, like, you know, some of the mass logging that's happening and all this, but you guys just constantly rabbing on about the CO2 is total false crap.
This issue and that issue and all these other issues, yeah.
So, yeah, that's the best thing to do is just actually, you know, and like I said before, don't just switch off. Switch off and tell them.
Yeah, yeah. Why? Switch off your television set, but switch on your thinking cap, and write letters and do everything you can to change it. Because there's nothing wrong with the television in itself. I didn't want to give the impression that the television is bad. It's what is broadcast with it. You know, it's with everything. Everything that's been invented by human beings can have a use. I mean, I guess even a gun has a positive use. Although I do think you know. There are too many guns that are just designed to kill people. You know, I don't think that guns, to the extent that we have them, and here I probably do diverge a little bit from Alex Jones, because he doesn't. For example, I really question why we need so many guns. You know, in the world generally. You know what I mean? I mean, why we have this giant industry of guns, industry of weapons, industry of things to do with killing people, and to do with missiles, rocket launches, you know, everything.
Well, that's all
thing.
Government. See, that's why I'm an anarchist. That's why I believe in peace, because I don't believe in violence. I'm an anti-violence. And to be honest, like, I think if the government's allowed to have guns, I should be able to have a gun. And if I'm not allowed to have a gun, then the government shouldn't be allowed to have a gun.
That's totally true. But you know, we probably need to do a show on guns. I think we haven't really talked.
Yeah,
about
I've got
guns.
Some really interesting thoughts. I've spent being in the army and not actually owning a gun because it's statistically more likely to be used against you. Plus, doing what we're doing, it's likely we'll be raided. And if we've got a gun, then that means that they'll come in ready to shoot. And they'll be on instant. They'll actually be, you know, on air trigger. Because you own a weapon. You know, like, a gun's really a liability in today's world. And, I've got some really... I've had some really deep thoughts about the... And where I end up with the whole gun debate is that we need community armories, you know, and that's the only place to store them. And everybody should be trained how to shoot, and then, we have a vote and decide if we ever break out the arms, whatever reason it might be. That might be the government, it might be a war, it might be anything. But, you know, that's... I don't know, there are ways of working these questions out, but they require quite a lot of thought, you know, that's for sure.
And look, I think that'll be a topic for another show. It's an excellent one to investigate, actually. I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. We've had a mega show tonight, folks, and you've been really awesome. Thank you for putting up with all the issues here tonight.
Technical issues, what are you going to do?
Yeah, we power on through it, you know. We don't look back, we look forward.
You guys folks, don't get to hear the swearing behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's always, you know. And, you know, that's... Luckily, that doesn't get recorded.
Folks, leave comments, please. We thrive on them. And tell your friends. We've got a new Tell Your Friend system, which will go out in the emails that Herald sends out.
Absolutely.
I've got an announcement before we go.
Yeah,
don't forget David Leitch's lecture at 6:30 p.m. on the 4th of June, that's Thursday evening, the 4th of June, that's next week. That's around about a week from now. Then also on the 7th of June, I will be speaking at Botany City Church. There's a good pastor there, Al Person, who's a really nice fellow. And I'm not a religious person myself, but he's someone that puts the 9/11 idea out there, and he wants me to speak to his congregation there after the service. So that's going to be great. I'll be presenting a lecture called Why 9/11 Truth, which I've been speaking about around the country, and I'll be speaking in Brisbane, the Brisbane Forum, coming up soon. Anyway, just if you want to get along to that, if you're a church sort of person and you want to check it out, then please come along. That'll be at 11:30 a.m. on the 7th, that's Sunday the 7th of June at Botany City Church. And it's just right on Botany Road there at the corner of Botany and Let me see, I've got written down here. Daphne Street, the corner of Botany Road and Daphne Street.
Terrific.
Fantastic. All right, well, thanks very much, folks, and I'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. Good night and good luck.
Good night.